Roy Hart is going to tell us about the Mississippi story.
Well, once again, we appreciate being able to be here to tell everybody our story, and it's been a very short whirlwind for us to try to, just a year ago, we were sitting at the table about this time planning what we were going to do and what the information would be, we would be submitting to the to CDC, and sitting together with our partners kind of conceptualizing what our approach would take. So, as it turns out, you know, we developed a concept and an initiative that we call Smoke-Free Air Mississippi. And I'm going to go through and tell you a little bit about the environment that led up to our ability to feel comfortable pressing forward with an initiative like this, and kind of tell you the steps that we've gone through to hopefully set ourselves up for true success and passage of a statewide law that will eliminate any kind of public smoking. So, let's see, and I have nothing to disclose. So, about Mississippi's tobacco control environment, to begin with, about 22% of Mississippi adults smoke, and our campaign is really focused on voting age adults. So, previously from 1999 to 2006, most tobacco control activities had been primarily implemented by the Partnership for a Healthy Mississippi. Mississippi was one of the first states to receive tobacco settlement funds, and as part of that settlement, a lower court in the state of Mississippi set up the Partnership for a Healthy Mississippi, and it existed for 3 years as kind of a best practices example. Then it was funded in 2000 with $20 million a year to implement tobacco control activities consistent with best practices from CDC. And in 2006, the governor and several legislators took real note of the fact that the partnership was not a state agency, and funds were going through that lower court decision to an agency that was operating outside of traditional state government avenues. So the partnership was effectively shut down in 2007, and in 2007 there were no state tobacco control funds at all utilized anywhere in the state. State funds. We still had our CDC grant at that time. So at the same time the partnership was being shut down, there was significant discussion about how to continue the state's tobacco control activity. So it was decided that the Department of Health should be the lead agency for tobacco control activities. And in 2007, state statute was formulated that essentially set up the Office of Tobacco Control in the Department of Health as an Office of Health Services. And a real big theme throughout this statute requires us to implement best practices consistent with CDC's recommendations as they are amended or as they are revised into the future. And I should note before I move on too far that even though the partnership was receiving $20 million up to 2006, the legislature decided that $10 million of discretionary funds was adequate for the Department of Health to use. So we essentially had our tobacco control budget cut in half by the legislature. The agency gets $20 million, but it's several agencies get line item appropriations or backdoor appropriations directly. And some of them are tobacco control related, others are more quasi tobacco control related. Continuing with the environment, historically our partner agencies, Heart, Lung, and Cancer, the American Heart Association, American Lung Association, the American Cancer Society, have made great strides in pushing forward with tobacco control, pushing for tobacco control policies at the state and local level. And they have worked diligently over the past several years at the local level, assisting communities in passing local ordinances that are truly comprehensive. And then they also, in 2003, really almost got they had significant momentum in our state legislature, getting a bill out of the Senate Public Health Committee that was a comprehensive clean air law. But since 2003, there's not really been an effort, a legislative push, to try to get a comprehensive statewide policy established. So in 2008, it's taken some ramp up time, and you understand that an agency can't really just jump into an activity like tobacco control. We have to establish ourselves, establish our kind of leadership role in the state. So it's taken some time to do that and gain the respect. Happily, having the respect of the legislature, being a part of the Department of Health, has allowed that to move forward relatively quickly. And this past year, collaboration among mostly partner agencies and organizations, and capitalizing on the fact that, you know, the legislature was seeking every opportunity to increase its state budget coffers, passed a 50-cent tax increase on cigarettes. And that, coupled with the federal increase almost concurrently, really has helped, we believe, to decrease the number of smokers in the state of Mississippi. But we don't have good data to support that presumption yet, because we haven't had our BARFUS data available. But the Department of Health, this is the first time the Department of Health has been cast in a truly leadership role, pressing for a statewide tobacco control policy. And here's some of our assets that we have right now within the state. I already covered our relationship to our partner agencies and organizations, and the fact that they have significant history and significant buy-in with the whole process of pushing for statewide legislation. So they all have all these contacts, and they all have all these strategies, but they also have to deal with their larger agency responsibilities and priorities. We have very close collaboration with our Office of Health Communications, and as you'll see as I go forward in my presentation, that this is a huge thing. Having good cooperation internally with your communications office in pressing for a policy initiative like this is very, very important. And under that, we had an existing professional services contract with a very competent advertising and marketing firm. Since we have a responsibility under the statute to have a media component to our tobacco control program, we already had this contract in place. And we have executive level buy-in and ownership. And ownership is very important. You have to spend the time to get your higher-ups in your agencies and organizations to really own this, because they're going to be called out a lot to become part of the process of educating other public officials and sometimes local officials about the necessity of having a smoke-free air policy. And we also, very importantly, under our state program, we have 33 state-funded tobacco coalitions. And they have like 1 to 3 counties that they have responsibility for essentially emulating the state level activities. So, I don't know if y'all are familiar with this theory of Bruce Tuckman's about storming, forming, norming, and performing. Well, we're a case study in this theory. So, as you know, if you're a state that's going to pursue a statewide policy, just be prepared that this is a prime, you know, a tool to use to anticipate what you're going to go through as you move forward with the implementation of your activities that lead up to the development of a policy and implementation of a policy. Under the first concept, forming, essentially you're basically hashing out what your concepts are going to be. And in this case for us, it was development of the grant proposal and who would be involved in the development of the grant proposal. And we tried to involve as many partners as we could so that they would, from the beginning, be stakeholders in the whole process. In the storming phase, well, you know, that seems to continue longer than Tuckman's theory would presume it would, but anyway, you know, that's essentially something you should work through. But these are struggles that arise around, you know, essentially the purpose, leadership of the activity, and sometimes in the approach, or who's going to do what. And then norming is adjustment to roles and responsibilities, and performing is when everything, you know, gets dialed in and you can feel the momentum and the excitement build about your activity, and things tend to start ticking off as planned. So I'm kind of giving you a little example up in the corner about where we are kind of in each phase as close as I could. Oh my goodness, I'm running. Okay, I'm gonna go fast.
Time.
Okay. Working with, so in November 2009, like I said, we put together our application for Component 2 of CDC's FOA, and the goal of the initiative was to create a smoke-free air policy in Mississippi by the end of 2012. So we have two legislative cycles to try to get this done, but we are banking on getting it done the first time here. Our legislative session will start in January, and it's going to be a huge amount of activities leading up to that legislative session. So we were funded $2,989,999. Why we didn't ask for $3 million, I don't know, but you know, we were trying to just be very conservative and only get funding for what we really needed the funds for. So we left out, you know, $11,000. But anyway, that's our amount of funding. And this, you know, when we got our grant award, we thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is kind of how we felt. It's like, ooh, you know, now we got to do something. So everybody was kind of stressed out about that. Now we got to truly perform what we said we would do. So this is how we've allocated our funds. And you see, we're still in the storming phase because everybody wasn't clear and everybody wasn't really happy about the way, you know, we chose to allocate funds. But about $1.9 million was allocated for our health communications campaign. And about $1 million has been allocated for community-based activities in support of that large media campaign. And other funding, we're funding a sports-related, university sports-related campaign at about $250,000 with state funds. And ACS has received an ACS CAN grant to support our activities at the local, I mean, during the legislative session as well. And in March, you know, we got our award. February, mid-February, yay, CDC conducts its first site visit in, you know, in March. So here we are. We've gotten a grant, had our grant for 18 days, and CDC's calling up saying, we're coming to, you know, visit with you to find out what you're going to be doing. You know, it's like, all right. So, but anyway, it turned out to be a very a good experience for us and CDC because it led up to the relationship that's been established between the Department of Health and OSH over this short period of time. And so we modified our original work plan that was submitted. And we began the process of branding the initiative. But all of our partners were still not happy at that time. So our approved approaches were implementing a community-based grassroots effort, and our boots-on-the-ground folks are trained to educate and promote the Smoke-Free Air Initiative, develop a very comprehensive and hard-hitting media campaign. And also we've administered, we're in the process, or just completed administering eight community level social climate surveys. So our key partners in this initiative have been the Partnership for a Healthy Mississippi. They're funded under the grant. ACS, partially funded under the grant, but they have their ACS CAN grant as well. And our internal Office of Health Communications, and of course CDC's OSH, has been very important. In March, April, and May, we did all of tested all of our messaging and our approach and developed the final logo and developed our tagline, our super tagline, everyone deserves to breathe smoke-free air. And we started meeting with all the partners and it started to gel at that point in time. But we're looking at part of a state fiscal year. We were still, our funding came right at the tail end of one of our state fiscal years, so we had to struggle to try to get contracts in place to begin to let things move forward. So instead of just doing a contract for a short period of time, March through June, we did contracts for March through June and for the next fiscal year at the same time, which allowed us to continue move forward seamlessly without an interruption in funding. And I should have had this earlier, but our primary data and information sources for our campaign are the Surgeon General's report and our social climate study. And what this has allowed us to do is keep our messaging very simple, and it provides us with nearly incontrovertible evidence to use for our messaging. In May, we began our initiative, and Dr. Mary Currier invited all of our partners and other agencies and organizations to begin to participate in our statewide smoke-free air coalition. logo and brand were introduced to the partners, and all contracts and sub-grants were in place, and that was very important because you got to move forward with your fiscal part of your program, and you can't, because of the short time frame, you can't afford to have any kind of interruption in activity. So I'm not going to go down. You can read our community-focused activities and health communications activities over that period of time. But one of the things that turned out, I mentioned the social climate study. So 8 communities in Mississippi have had social climate studies. This was Cleveland, Mississippi. It's a moderate size, kind of big for the state of Mississippi, but it has a university in it. And the university just adopted a university-wide tobacco-free policy. So we're hoping that the city of Cleveland can move forward with tobacco-free policy at the same time. But you can see that overall, these were the two questions that were asked, and these are BARFAS similar questions. Would you favor a law that would prohibit smoking in all indoor places, including offices, restaurants, and bars? Overall, 82.5% of the residents of Cleveland would support that. And that's consistent with our statewide social climate survey, and that's why we believe it's so important to use these state-specific data that have been done, the surveys that have been done very scientifically and effectively. And you can see that current smokers, 56.3% of current smokers would favor that similar law. Community-based activities, the partnerships hired 5 people to work there, and they're spread out regionally. That we've trained all of our grassroots staff on our core messaging, and that's very important. You don't want people talking about things or bringing messaging in that in our case is very succinct and very focused on smoke-free air based on the Surgeon General's report. We developed presentation materials and disseminated that out to our tobacco-free coalitions, and all those 33 coalition directors are using that at the community level, and as well as the Partnership for Healthy Mississippi. How far over time am I?
Yeah, you got a couple
minutes. So the Office of Tobacco Control, and we've ordered incentive items that are very, all branded very consistently with our logo. And our first event was the Neshoba County Fair that we participated in. And the Neshoba County Fair is a widely attended event that's one of these kind of stump events where all the politicians show up and they begin to talk about what their campaign agendas are. So we were right there, and it was in July, so things that we gave out there were water bottles branded with our logo. So I've already talked about the community level social climate surveys, and the data from all 8 surveys are very similar to what you saw for Cleveland. And at the same time, the Mississippi State University's Social Science Research Center released 2 heart attack studies. And this was a summary of the effect of our smoke-free air policy at the local level for Starkville, Mississippi, and Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And the findings have been very similar with the findings that were released in the IOM report, that you do reduce myocardial infarctions, and you do reduce cost for care, and you do save lives by implementing a comprehensive policy at the local level. So we hope to use that as a continuing basis or continuing argument for the necessity of having statewide policy. So we've drafted our smoke-free air legislation. Our legal office and our legislative office have drafted up the piece of legislation. Partners have been involved in developing that legislation. It's going to be submitted to the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, if it's not already been there. They're probably going to come to Mississippi in the next few weeks to sit down and talk about what's going to happen when we introduce this legislation. What are the next steps? What can we expect? So on October 13th, the whole initiative was introduced to the Board of Health. The Board of Health solidly supported it. And we also have other significant boards like the Hospital Association, State Medical Association, the Academy of Pediatrics, Academy of Family Practice Physicians, that are all behind this legislation. And this is the first time there's been such solid support for a single themed type policy initiative. So our lessons learned, our traditional partners that have been at the forefront of our tobacco control activities and initiatives for years, they're still having an adjustment period to the Department of Health being kind of the lead in this. And we still occasionally have to have meetings where we pull everybody back in and get them to focus on our single sole purpose in this event, in this initiative. And remember, while each one of them, they all have a legislative agenda that's unique to their agency or organization, and they're supporting our activity. And we respect that, and they respect our process, but they had to come to realize that their process for submitting legislation to be considered by or to be introduced by a legislator in the state was very different from our process. We are a big bureaucracy, and the process is not anything like that we've gone through before. And another important thing is you have to educate everybody about the difference between educating, advocating, and lobbying. And we had to identify, and we've been in the process of identifying additional partners, like one of ours that has come to the forefront lately is Blue Cross Blue Shield in Mississippi. But like I said earlier, State Medical Association and State Hospital Association, other big associations like that are very supportive as well. And you've got to conduct effective, advanced planning. If you even think you're going to get funded for this, everybody in your agency has to be aware of the implications for their time and resources and what they'll have to commit to doing it. So the takeaways, this is not a project. You can't think about it as a project if you're going to be successful. It's a multi-agency public health initiative that must have broad stakeholder support. And like I said earlier, it's got to have buy-in and it's got to have ownership outside your agency or organization. Utilize indisputable data and very simple data as much as you possibly can, and keep your information very simple and to the point. When you talk to the media, don't let them distract you. Stay with your message. Stay very simple and to the point. And as the lead agency, you need to take charge and educate your internal and external partners. Establish roles and responsibilities for your team very early. And remember, some people never keep storming, so don't let that distract you. And this is our website for the initiative. It's very simple, smokefreeairms.com. And I appreciate your time.
Wonderful. Thanks.